All right. One thing I was going to say about Larry Miller, too. I appreciate Larry. I'm going to call Larry a yes man. Now, don't get this wrong. Okay? Lots of times you hear of a yes man, that means somebody that doesn't have any backbone, just yes, sir, or whatever. Yes, sir. Larry's not that way. Okay? Larry and I, it took us a while to figure out our communication with each other. Larry has to know exactly why he's doing what he's doing. He isn't just a yes, whatever so-and-so says. He's not that kind of guy. But what I mean, there are people that are no people. And what I mean by that is anytime you want to do something, they're, nope, can't do it. Nope, here's why. Nope, here's why. And I even think that the Lord allows there to be one or two of those people in the congregation for a reason. It keeps the brakes on things to make sure you really know what you're doing before you do it. But one thing I appreciate about Larry, when I say he's a yes man, I mean, his first response is, oh yeah, we can do it. I don't know how, but we can do this. One way or another, we're going to figure out a way and we'll make it work. We need guys like that, don't we? And, you know, 517, he turns there. Well, we turned there. What were you on, 514? He started it. I'm sure we would have. I don't know how we would have done it with 517 open, but I really do, Larry. I appreciate that about you. This guy, whatever needs done, he says we can do it, and he's charging in full speed ahead, and we'll figure out how to make it happen. Appreciate that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. You know, Kevin hit it in the opening prayer. Marriage really has one primary purpose. The primary purpose of marriage is to teach us about the relationship of Jesus Christ and the church. You know, it's interesting to me. I mean, we do live in a time where humanism is absolutely rampant. Instant gratification. And so many people get married to be happy. I'll tell you this right now. If you're not happy before you get married, you're not going to be happy after you get married. Change of circumstance does not change who you are. Your happiness ultimately is dependent upon your relationship with God. And any problems there aren't on God's end, in case you were wondering. Okay? So, the purpose of marriage, really, it is there. It is a representation of Jesus Christ in the church. And we've been, when Kit and I on the introduction, I'm not going to say too much more about that, except a reminder. This is what it's about. Paul says here, this mystery, talking about husband-wife relationship, this mystery is great. But I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Now, any of us that have been married, when we read this and Paul says this mystery is great in particular to the marriage relationship, we all say amen. Okay? Us men are trying to figure out how women tick. Okay? And I'll get to that a little more. It's tough. And wives are trying to figure out us guys. Okay? This mystery is great. Okay? You know, I make jokes about it a little bit, and I know I've used Julie as an example already more than she enjoys being used as an example. Marriage is great. Okay? And Julie and I enjoy each other, and we have a great relationship. She's like, you make it sound like we have all sorts of problems. That's Not what I'm trying to say, things we have to fight through. She's not going to like that I said that either. But you have to fight through. We have to work through stuff. Everybody does. If you're going to have a good relationship, and the things that we work through, the things that we fight our way through, are things that I'm sure are similar to what every couple has to work and fight their way through. The difference really is, I mean, we basically have two choices. Either we're working together and we're making progress and this marriage is getting better and better, or we're not working and separation, step by step, day by day, is coming in. So we had a choice which one is going to be. And so the scripture has a lot to say about this. I know last time I started working on the men. I started working on men first because Jesus laid down His life for us first, didn't He? Men, ultimately, we are held accountable to God for the state of our family. Now, that doesn't mean that you can make choices for anybody else, including your wife. But we are held responsible for the leadership that we provide or the lack thereof. There is some authority that God gives to men, and with that authority, there is an increased level of responsibility and accountability. So I'm starting with us men, because Jesus started for us, His church. He laid down His life first, didn't He? So I'm putting it on us guys first. Now, you gals, you're going to get in on this tonight too. Been getting a free pass the last couple of weeks. Kyle.
All right, guys, kind of thinking about kind of along that lines. And I know it's easier just to say, but it was like, you know, the scripture in like God's word, like in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, about not having anxiety, that the Lord provides, you know, all the things for the grass, the fields, the birds, you know, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That seed for his kingdom and his righteousness. And I got to think of it, and I was like, oh, okay. So the Lord tells us not to have anxiety about worrying about how to, you know, get all these things, you know, food, clothing, stuff like that. Okay, well, with us being a physical representation of the marriage, us men, you have the same responsibility that our family and wives shouldn't be anxious, worrying about whether they're going to be provided that clothing or that food or shelter. Then that's our responsibility, just as the Lord will take that responsibility upon His church.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the Lord is a great example for us, and you know, He's telling us we don't have to worry about that because He will provide. Now, it's not always the way that we anticipate. It's not always even everything that we want, but He provides what we need, doesn't He? And so, you're right, Kyle, as a man, part of our responsibility is to provide. You know, the Scripture talks about being men. Act like men. Be strong. Scripture talks about what it means to work with your own hands. We have a culture where there's a lot of lazy people, men included. And so there is a responsibility. If we're going to imitate God in this regard, as men, we need to work hard, don't we? We need to provide. But I will say this also. Women do desire security. God made them that way. But sometimes us guys think of that security as primarily in terms of those provisions. Usually what women want more than those physical needs is they want emotional security and stability. That's what ultimately they're looking for from us. Those other things are concerns, but what they really want is to know that we're there, we're steady, we're not going anywhere. The same thing with us and the Lord. Okay? Mark.
A couple of things. I'm trying to remember. It was way, way back. Your dad had said something about they had found in the Samaritan the uniform or something about one of the prophets about freedom. And right after that was taxes. And that is something we've got to keep in mind when we read the scripture about how God set it up on basically on an agrarian type style, and this interference that we have through government regulation and taxes is almost like by design to keep you on this treadmill. So not only is it important in the leadership, and I know I've worked Stacy out on it a lot, about it's very hard to make good conscientious choices and be in line with God's, I should say it's easy to make good choices, but knowing she needs the knowledge to know that what we're up against as well to try to work in between the lines when we're working in a system where, hey, you know what? We don't get that guarantee on that land title. Oh, hey, what? You know what? We got property taxes, which is an unfair tax. Oh, wait a minute. We got inheritance taxes that take away the formation of capital. Oh, hey, wait. There's a certain kind of oppression that's going on.
Absolutely.
You got the other side of the marriage. You need to know about what you're up against.
Yeah, and I think both men and women, what Mark's saying, we need to be aware of that. There is oppression. There's no doubt about it. We don't have physical chains, but man, what'd they say Tax Freedom Day is this year? Like April 21st or something, or? Huh? Oh,
it's right around Tax Day.
It's around Tax Day. I thought it was like April 21st or something. So, to pay the taxes, you have. Every American citizen has to work till April 21st or something to pay the taxes. That is slavery. I don't care how you stack it up. You read your Old Testament and the king is going to get 10%. This guy is getting a lot more than 10%. Okay? But we need to be aware of it, both men and women, because it is by design. Satan has a design to destroy the family. And one way that he is doing that, one of his goals and his purpose behind that is to get both mom and dad off working and on that treadmill, the way to use your words, where they can't concentrate on anything else but things that are really important. And so it is a challenge. It's a huge challenge. And us men, we need to be wise in our decision making. There's a balance. We do need to work hard and provide for our family. At the same time, we can't get caught up in the rat race where we're putting so much focus on that we're avoiding some of the weightier provisions of the family. One more thing, Mark.
Just following up on that, and the other side of the point on that too is about how government with the welfare system also is inflated on the other side. And this is a side note. A lot of us guys will get a T-shirt off the rack and just wear whatever. But just remember, if you ever put on a cheap, you know, that Revolution T-shirt, that guy named C-H-E, with the help of Cuba, that murderer, he was the one guy that went to the schools and said, you guys pray and see if there's any milk. They didn't do it. And they said, now you pray to the government to see if you get milk. And
yep. These
are little bitty kids. And they did that. And so that other oppression is on the other side of the coin too.
Absolutely. Yep. That's a great way to keep people enslaved. So the handouts come from not from God but from government. Mr. Lowe.
Today I see there are no work ethics.
Yep.
There's no stick to it. And I don't care how you get twisted, they don't stick to it. Some little thing comes up and they're gone.
Yep.
And I think that affects the family and marriage.
Absolutely.
Big thing is fight over the money or something.
Yep.
There.
And what Mr. Love's talking about is a really important point. Our work ethic. Okay? The way that I tell the kids, the way you practice is the way you play. Right? So, you have habits. Those habits are either good habits or they're bad habits. And if you have a habit of every time something's a little tough, you take the easy way out. What do you think is going to happen in family when stuff's a little tough? I'm going to go spend the night on somebody else's couch tonight. Really? That's the way we saw it. That's running. And real Christians, we don't run. We work through. We work. W-O-R-K. We work through what needs work through. I haven't even hit one button yet tonight, guys. I do want to do a really quick review on responsibilities of men. We talked about leadership. That's lead by example. And one of the things that I hit is that we need to be aware of the abilities of our wives. And the point I was making is we need to not ask more of our wives than what they are currently capable of doing. We need to be realistic about that. And somebody mentioned to me, and I think it's a good point, the flip side of that is also, though, we also need to understand what our wives' abilities are and empower them and trust them to carry out the things they're capable of carrying out. was the law a good husband? No, the law was an unreasonable taskmaster, and we know what it produced. Death. Husbands, our job is not micromanagement either. We have our wives, we understand their capabilities, we've talked about it, they have things they're doing, and we don't come in and say, well, here, I can do that better. That doesn't make sense. And so, that's part of good leadership as well. Consideration. Men, we need to consider. We need to think about our wives and think about what communicates love to them. Not just about what we would want, what do they need? We need to think about it. We need to put some thought into it. We need to put some prayer into it. We need to get some feedback from them about that. And then we need to, like Kevin said in his prayer, apply some of these things. Actually start to practice it. There's a movie that came out a few years ago, Fireproof. Anybody see that movie, Fireproof? It's a little cheesy, but there was some good stuff in there. Basically, it's a marriage is worth fighting for. And in there was this book called Love Dare. And 40 days of going through some things. I'll tell you, I went through that. I've gone through that with a fellow brother in the congregation. You know what? There were some good things in there for me. Reminder, little things to do to put at the front of my mind to make an effort. Now, I'm waiting for some godly woman to write the Respect Dare book. Hey, it's a need. There is a need. How are you going to communicate love to your wife, men? We have to consider this, don't we? Think about it. Work on it. Apply it. Wives, will get to you in a bit, but I'm serious. I'd like somebody to write that book. How do our wives communicate respect to their husband? How do they put that to the front of their mind and make a conscious effort every day? Larry?
You think it's some accident, you know, definitely the whole, you know, love your wife, you should love your wife. You know, but even the world, the definition of that's a little weird. But there's a lot of, Valentine's Day, love your wife, buy your cards, all that stuff. But the whole respect is really never, you never see that side of it. And because of that, it's that old. If you think of any accident, it's almost that women's lib or feminist movement that is really a push. Everyone said, well, we don't need this, we don't need no man. It's,
right.
There's an agenda there that basically is,
yep, and Wolf, you remind me, if I don't touch on that enough, when we get to the women, I will. Okay? I want to keep working on us guys right now. Us guys, we got to think about love. Love our wives is a scriptural command. We got to make a conscious effort to do that. So tonight, I just want to, we talked about leadership by sacrifice. We talked about consideration. I want to talk about honor. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 7. I've made jokes about this, and it's fairly true, though, that early on in my marriage, boy, I could quote 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Had that one down. That's what, wife, you're supposed to do. Even if I'm being a jerk, you win me without a word. Boy, I had that one. But verse 7, it was kind of like, I quote a little, your husband likewise living in it. Verse 7, you husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with the weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so your prayers may not be hindered. Sometimes the feminist movement has tried to make the Bible be some sort of male chauvinism. And women are second-class citizens. I want you to understand, first of all, and I'm talking to men here, God says our wives are fellow heirs of the grace of life. Okay? Our wives are just as valuable souls as we are. Our wives have just as good a place in heaven as men do. Now, you can ask the Mormons if you want something different. But what the Bible says is the way it is, regardless of if the Mormons or other people teach otherwise. We are fellow heirs, what the Scripture says. Now, we are different, and we've talked about that. God wired us differently, our roles are different, but we're equal. I want you to notice that right off the bat. But it tells us, men, it says, live with your wives in an understanding way. Now, I've thought it, and I've had men tell me, my wife doesn't make any sense. Okay? I can't understand her. I'm trying to be logical about this, and she's not being logical. Now, realizing that emotions can cloud perspectives on all sides, I will say this, being a man, I think it is difficult to understand women all the time. I'll say that. Do you think there's a reason that God tells us to do this? Then make an effort. I'll get you in just a second, Tim. Make an effort. Live with your wife in an understanding way. You need to figure out there are some differences. And men, it is worth our effort to try to understand what makes our wife tick. The way that she works. She does not operate the same way we do. And that doesn't mean, well, what was the old My Fair Lady, Henry Higgins, I think was the guy. Why can't a woman be more like a man? She isn't going to be. God didn't make her that way. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. We need to work to understand them. Not just throw the tail. Well, they're illogical, so that's not an option, men. Understand. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Work through the things you got to work to understand the way that they tick. Tim, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to tell you that if you want to compare ourselves to a 386, processor, and a woman to a 586, she could do four or five things at one time, and man could do one thing at one time.
Yes.
And the one thing at one time is to be done is to understand your wife, is that she can do all kinds of different things and do it all during the night, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good point. I read something one time, Tim. It was very similar to that analogy. They say, you know, if you're in the computer and some little pop up comes up, you know, for us guys, it's just like if we even notice the pop up, we can only click the red X, right? Shut that thing off. It says women can't do that. Someone was talking about ads on Facebook. I don't even really realize they're ads on Facebook. Julie can tell you what they all are down the side. We are wired differently. Women can do, they can multitask, which is beautiful and wonderful. But us guys also have to realize part of understanding is they also can't just compartmentalize and shut stuff off easily either. And so that's a good point, Tim. That's something us guys need to understand. Well, just forget about it. Just move on. Just move. True, but it's not that easy always for a woman to do that. Mark.
Technical question. This understanding way here, is that connected with the submission up above? Because we understand what Abraham subjected Sarah to. That was kind of like a death sentence when he sent her off, although God protected her.
Here's the real key, Mark, on all of this. Okay. You go back to 1 Peter 2 is where this starts.
Yeah.
And 1 Peter chapter 2 starts, the example is Jesus. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. And so, chapter 3 says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. You can win them without a word. Now, it says, you husbands, likewise, live with your wives. In other words, guys, the way to win this, the way it isn't to start preaching and use all these words. That's the context. In the same way, likewise. It means men, the same thing applies to us. The way we're going to win isn't necessarily by our words. It's going to be by our example. In this case, our example isn't our chaste and respectful behavior. Our example is our understanding behavior.
Well, my question was on the understanding is the understanding not subjecting your wife to that emotional stress?
I don't think that's... I understand what you're saying. I don't think that's the main thrust of that. But yeah, that would be true. That would be true. I think a lot of it is just understanding that emotional stress does hit her differently than us. And be aware of that. So... Wow, I'm not making much progress tonight. Just a second, Tim. I got a couple other guys with their hands up. Kyle.
Maybe a way of understanding would be somewhere along Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, since we know the ladies are, according to Scripture, a weaker vessel. You know, that we should be able to take that leadership and be able to learn, which I don't quite understand to sympathize, but be able to learn how to sympathize with our wives. And on top of that, not recognizing any mandatory to the flesh, you know, be able to look at it as spiritual things, so realize maybe in an emotional sort of way, you know, being able to sympathize that way.
Yep, you're right. Yep, good point. Clint.
I was just going to say, I've always kind of looked at knowledge, wisdom, and understanding kind of a three-step pattern. If you read the book about it, you have some more time. If you read the book two or three times, and, you know, you experience some of the things in the book, you have a little bit of wisdom. But to be understanding is, you know, in the case of what, knowing her to the point that you know what she's going through, you can look at her face and tell why the kid in the back room's crying. And, yeah.
Yep. So sympathize is a good one, and we'll even probably throw in empathize a little. Mike.
I think that word likewise is really, really important. And, I mean, if you think about the best leaders, the people are following because of their example.
Amen.
It's like we're encouraged to follow Jesus Christ because of the example that he left for us. You know, men, if you want your wives to follow you, you need to be an example for them. And if you're resistant to authority and you pull up against those things, that's going to be a tone that you set in your home. And you can expect some of those things probably from your wife. And, I really appreciate what Brother Kevin says. You know, sometimes who's going to do the right thing first?
Yep.
I think that's really important. You know, like you, I knew the first six verses there and had to learn verse seven. You know, I mean, it's pretty easy to say, hey, you know, that's your job. Well, it tells me likewise, and then it adds more on top.
Yep.
You could give yourself up like Christ gave himself up.
Yep. And I wasn't going there tonight, but I have to because of where we've done the in this 1 Peter 2 and 3 passage. The bottom line is this: Jesus was able to do it because he entrusted himself to him who judges righteously. Wives, if your husband's being a jerk and you got to follow through on 1 Peter 3 verse 1, the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you entrust yourself to him who judges righteously. Husbands, if your wife is way out of line and you're trying to be understanding, the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you entrust yourself to him who judges righteously. Our strength has to ultimately come from God. If our strength as husband and wives is completely dependent on each other, this is a cycle that's going to spiral downwards pretty fast. So we gotta get that right. All right, I'm moving on here. Grant her honor. Grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Lift up your wife. Hold her up. Grant her honor. Give her honor. Let your wife know she is the most important person in your life. This is something I've had to learn too. And, you know, some of the security stuff I was talking about earlier, Kyle. Your wife has to know that she is the most important person in your life. That she's more important than things. That she's more important than your job. That she's more... She has to know that. And sometimes there will be some subconscious tests that she will give you. Do you value me even when I am not particularly lovable? Men, lift up our wives. Let her know she's the most important person. Children, will give her as much honor as you do. You expect your children to honor their mother? That example Mike was talking about, where's that going to come from? If you yell at her and scream at her and put her down, what do you anticipate that your children are going to do? Same thing. James Dobson once said, the greatest gift a father can give his children is to love their mother. I think that's pretty good. Encourage her, men. Talk about your purpose, goals, and faith picture of your family. Aren't we supposed to provide guidance and leadership here? Honoring her is having her walk with us. We don't want our wife to walk behind us. We don't want her to walk in front of us. We want her to walk side by side with us. Isn't that what the Lord wants from us? That we would walk humbly with our God? And so part of honoring our wife is making sure she's a part of where we're going and what we're doing, and that her input counts. Men, I'll tell you this. Your wife's going to give you a lot of valuable input that you will not get any other way. This multitasking thing that Tim was talking about, the wife's ability to do that, she can give you a lot of extra information that you never got because you didn't see it. My wife can tell you not only the color of every house on our street, but who watches TV and probably on which nights. And I know that mine's the greenhouse. And that's where I'm trying to get to. That's about what I know. Okay? So when it comes to decision making, it is green, isn't it? Yes, it is. When it comes to decision making, man, you're foolish. You're foolish if you don't take your wife's input into account. We are a team. The two become one. And part of honoring your wife is recognizing that she has valuable input, that God made her differently, and she's going to bring some things to the table that you cannot have without her. Okay? So, and be sensitive, men. Do the important, not the urgent. I'm working on this. How many years in that? I'm a little behind you guys. You just had your 17th, right? I'm coming up on my 17th. I'm getting better at this. I am getting better. I actually can go shopping with my wife and truly enjoy my experience. I can. What did you say?
You'll make it by the
25th. I'll make it by the 25th. When I remember we're not going hunting, I'm just going, I just enjoy spending time with my wife. That's being sensitive, I think. And things like flowers and cards and that kind of stuff's important too, guys. It really is. Okay? I will say this too. I'm a big proponent of dates with your wife. Okay? They're a lot more important after you get married than they are before you get married. Okay? Men, make time. Okay? Be sensitive. Okay? Do the important, not the urgent. If your wife is the most important person in your life, then does it make sense that you would have time to give an hour to all sorts of other people throughout the week, but you couldn't find time to give your wife an hour? I think it's pretty common sense. But those guys got to think about it, because it took me a long time to figure it out. So when I say it's common sense, doesn't mean it's easy to really do. So we got to think about it. Live with our wives in an understanding way. Be sensitive. Justin. Now they do set us up sometimes. They do set us up sometimes, but that's right. That's right. Same with dinner. That's one of my favorite. That makes my top 10 list. What's bad is when you don't say that and they ask, and you have to figure out how to sensitively say, it's good, it just didn't quite make the top 10. And so, guys, be sensitive. That's right. And I will say this. This is actually important, too. And we're gonna get to communication more down the road. But what Justin just said, communication, it is important. The way we give it and the way we receive it. And actually, to provide an environment where communication can flow. Honest, legitimate communication can flow. Because if our wife tries to tell us something, and we immediately start going to argument mode or start logically destroying whatever it is she's saying, how long do you think she's going to keep talking to us? Be sensitive, men. We don't always have to go into, let's see, men typically use words. Well, let me step back. Women typically use words to share. Men use words for debate and war. Okay. So, when a woman starts sharing and a man starts debating, that doesn't usually provide an open lines of communication. So part of being sensitive is being aware and say, this isn't, we're not into, you know, what exactly does the root of that word that you just used mean? Okay? That's, our wife typically isn't trying to, you know, didn't check her etymology before she started sharing that. Okay? What you got back there, David? Yeah. Listen and hear, right? Listen and hear. Trish. Yep.
But at the same time, a husband can't expect to say something and a woman can't be emotional. Right then?
Yep.
If be able to be honest and express a certain level of emotion, the woman can't overreact to these emotions that they don't want.
Absolutely. And I'm getting to the women here next, but you are right. Okay? A guy isn't going to be thrilled to come home and have a conversation when he knows it's going to be a blow up or an emotional overload and he's worn out already. Okay? So, Kyle. Amen. Amen. Grace is a gift, isn't it? Grace is a gift. All right, I'm going to just set the stage here. Responsibilities of a wife. Respect your husband. And I'm going to put it in a few different ways. Encourage him. Be submissive to him. And express your appreciation of him. This word, I'll really get into it next week, but wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. That, a lot of ladies don't like that. When many women that I know that actually become Christians, that's one of the first things they have questions about. Because it sounds like, oh, so I'm just supposed to give absolute control to this guy, and I'm not willing to do that. Well, there's a couple things. One is, just like you need love, he needs respect. That's a legitimate need that God created him that way. You can do the greatest, you can be the greatest fulfillment to your husband by respecting him. By you willingly doing that. And you know, what's wrong with learning how to be subject? Mike just was saying for us guys, if we rebel against authority, whether it be in the church or in the workplace or even in the arena of our civil authorities, if we have a rebellious attitude, that kind of trickles down, doesn't it? Look, doesn't God want us all to learn to be subject to Him? Don't we all get an opportunity to do that? If God asks wives, be subject to your husbands, there's something the Lord is teaching you about your relationship with Him. Men get to do that too. Just not in the home to you. What the Scripture here says, wives, be subject to your husbands. And we're going to work on that a little bit. But I want you to have an open mind. I want you to start having an open mind by I'm going to ask you this question. Is the Bible written by men or is this God's Word? So if it's inspired by God, then it's right. God's right. It's not that, well, that was written 2,000 years ago and that's when women weren't educated and they didn't know how to read, you know. Hey, I've heard all of these. Okay? And it does not change. The Bible's true. God said it. He made it. He made us. He knows what we need. And He set it up a certain way for a reason. So we can't come into it with a rebellious attitude or this thing's done before you ever start. Okay? You won't work to do what the Lord asks you to do. So, you know, let's work our way through this and let's see, what does the Scripture mean when it actually says, be subject to your husbands? What's that mean? We'll get to that here probably next week. Larry.
It's a subject of respecting your husband. Why would you respect your husband?
why can't
they? Easy for you to say.
why can't they? You know, we'll be subjected. Well, why does someone want to be subjected to trust? Where it comes into trust, you're just a teammate. You don't need to marry. You're not going to have any close teammates before you get married. If you don't trust that person, why don't you be married for physical reasons too? She's hot or he's a hunk or whatever. Yeah, they might be, but you might not trust anything they say. It might be thick as a brick or whatever. So you got to look a little farther. And if you marry someone, you better figure out how to communicate, like was brought out. Because if you can't communicate, then there's no way you'll trust them because you'll be on different pages. I mean, Scripture even says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You know this from being the evangelist, how the body work getting good. You got to trust each other. If we start, start trusting each other, we start, having all sorts of crazy ideas, think, well, I know more, I don't think they know anything, I know better, but they think it's something. That's the quickest way to get divisions, splits, all sorts of things. So you got to trust each other.
Yeah, and let me ask you this. Are we supposed to be subject to Jesus?
Yes.
Did he lay down? We trust him. And did he lay down his life for us?
Yes.
Yes. So, when the Scripture says, be subject to your husbands, let's back it up, gals, and let's remember what the Lord asked your husband to do. He laying down his life for you. That's worthy of respect. That's worthy of being subject and submissive to him. He is sacrificing himself for you. That counts for something, doesn't it? So we'll get into this. We'll get into this next week. I Proverbs chapter 14. Close with this just to set the stage here. Proverbs 14, verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Scripture's pretty plain on this. If you're a wise woman, you're figuring out a way to build that house. If you're foolish, you're chopping your own legs right out from under you. Let's think about this for just a second spiritually. The church is the bride. Are we supposed to be building the Lord's house? What's a foolish woman do? Divide, crack, problems here, problems there, chaos. That thing can never be built. A wise woman builds her house. And we're going to work on that starting next week.